Yeah, got a very nice crowd this morning. Very nice. Glad to see all those visiting with us, and definitely glad that you're here and able to be here. About a month ago, I brought a lesson on destructive people in the church, and I told you I was going to follow that up with one on constructive people in the church. I used to try to bring some kind of lesson about godly mothers or something on Mother's Day, and y'all know how that used to work out. I'd end up just standing up here and about crying half the time through it. So I quit doing that a long time ago. But when I was laying out my lessons and the topics and things that I've got, I was thinking, there is no better constructive people than mamas, They keep the house going. No matter how bad it gets, no matter how sick everybody else is, they keep the house going. So very constructive. So I thought today would be a good day for the constructive people lesson. So, just starting here, we've got, this little post, be constructive, not deconstructive, and that's exactly what we were talking about in these two lessons, right? And we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 14:26. I've actually got it on the screen in three different versions here, but definitely feel free to turn and double check with me. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. The New King James Version says, "How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done for edification." Again, New King James Version. The English Standard Version says, "What then, brothers? When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation, let all things be done for building up." English Standard Version. The New International Version, I don't bring this up much. I think there are some inconsistencies and wrongs with that version. But I like the wording here and in the next verse I'm going to look at. "What then shall we say, brothers and sisters, when would you come together? Each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up." All right, so the point that's being made here is these things, if you look at all these things, the psalm, the teaching, the tongue, the revealing of information, interpreting what someone else has been given as a prophecy, all of those things were fine in and of themselves. But what Paul is having to fight with is everyone's coming in and everyone's wanting to be heard and everyone's wanting their attention. It's just not being constructive. You're not using what the Lord give you to take and be of a benefit. So you've got words like this edification, for building up, to be built up. And what he's saying is, yes, those things are great. I'm glad you've got a psalm. I'm glad you've got a portion of the word that you want to teach. But does everybody need their part that day? Does everybody need to bring all their information up that day? Is it the most needed thing? Is it for edification and building up of the body? Another verse that I think is very similar to this and goes along with this, and I have the New King James Version, English Standard, and the New International on this one as well. But it's 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 23. "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify." New King James Version. The English Standard says, "All things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up." And then the New International Translation says, "I have the right to do anything you say, but not anything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive." So what Paul is making the point there, and it's not just he's able to do anything that he wants. It's the idea that he's got the ability to come in and teach and instruct and then, put some commands on them and change things. And, he even talks in the second letter that, he's writing to them in tears. I mean, he's needing to be hard on them. But the point he's making is sometimes, even if it's right, even if it's like really important to you, maybe it's not the most beneficial to the body as a whole. So some of the parts of this ideal of being constructive, and notice the New International Translation, it's not everything is constructive. It's not the most beneficial. So when we start thinking, constructive people, we need to think about different aspects of how we can build up, how we can edify, how we can strengthen. So one of the first points that I've got is really the ideal of teamwork. You know, we're working together. That's part of already what we looked at, right? You know, the men are coming together and they've got a psalm and they've got this. But they're, you know, Paul's really saying you got to figure out how to put that together and be constructive. You know, not you come, okay, I've got this, I want to say this, I've got this, I want to do that, I got this. And then the body as a whole hurts by it. You know, it's not very productive. You know, so teamwork, you know, put together a way of building up, working together. Paul has a lot of lists of individuals that worked hard with him. But I picked out two verses here where he's specifically talking about fellas that are working hard with him. Romans 16:21, Timothy, my fellow worker, and Lucius or Luke, Jason and Sopater, my countrymen, greet you. And then 2 Corinthians 1:19, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you, and you're thinking, okay, Paul did the preaching, right? By us, by me, Silvanus, Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. So, you know, a lot of times when you think about Paul, he's writing these letters to these churches, you're thinking the whole time he did all the preaching, right? You think of that. Okay, here he is. He's going into these groups, these places, and he's teaching them and he's instructing them. And you think, okay, he's the apostle. He's the one that was sent out by God to do all of that. So that was his job. That's what he did. But if you look at this, no. He says, the message that was preached by, you know, unto you by us, you know, him and Silas and Timothy, you know, and then he's got these other ones, you know, Jason and Luke and different ones that are working with him. You know, it was a group effort. He talks about others, you know, like I said, there's some pretty long lists. He even talks about others that did physical work, you know, within the group so that the body could eat, like the whole little group there that was with him could eat and survive so that he could preach. It was a group effort. They worked together. You know, they just did what was needed to do in the work as a whole. So, yeah, you know, some constructive people in the church are those that are willing and able to work with one another. You know, and I've met people, they claim to be faithful children of God, but they cannot get along. They cannot work with anybody. You know, and they're not constructive. That is a deconstructive attitude. When you think you are the number one top dog and everything needs to be done according to your way, that is just destructive. You know, it's got to be constructive. Another ideal of constructive individuals is those that really are just individuals that give praise, that encourage, strengthen, admonish. I mean, these are all words that we could use. You know, people that just lift you up. You know, and there's people that are just really good at that. I don't think I'm one of those individuals. When you go around just make people happy and encourage, I don't think I'm one of those. But there are those that I've met in my life that they just excel at making people feel better about themselves, feel better about their work, their efforts that they've put in. They're just really good at it. You know, so Acts 4 verse 36 says, and Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus. So here the apostles had actually given, you know, Joses, J-O-S-E-S, if I'm saying that right, the nickname Barnabas because of how good he was at in this encouragement, this strengthening, this edifying. And we know that and we can see that as we would further read, you know, even when Paul, you know, or Saul at the time, you know, he was even being rejected by the apostles. Barnabas has faith in him. Barnabas takes and gets Paul, encourages Paul in that. We need to realize that. He encourages Paul and then brings Paul before him and then really speaks for him. And then when the work is needed, he goes and gets Paul from Tarsus and brings him to do the work with him side by side. You know how much that was in Paul's life or Saul's life at that time? How much he needed that encouragement in both of those instances. And then you take that first missionary journey, and we're going to be talking about that in a week or so here. But that first missionary journey, you know, it seems, in the most part, that Barnabas led most of that. Not Saul, who became Paul, you know, changed his name within that trip. But Barnabas himself was very, very encouraging and strengthening in that. And even when him and Paul had the split, think about the situation of that. When he wanted to bring Mark, he was trying to encourage and strengthen in Mark. Paul was all about the work. Not so much on this edification, right? This encouraging, you know, he was all about the work. But notice later on, you know, Paul talks about, you know, John Mark being, you know, very beneficial to him. So that effort that Barnabas put in was super needed right there. Another example, Acts 15. Acts 15, 30 through 33. So when they were sent off, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter. So here Paul has sent this letter. It says, and when they had read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. Now Judas and Silas, themselves being prophets also, exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. And after they had stayed there for a time, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles. So here they bring the letter. The letter is an encouragement. But then they stay there for a period of time. Judas and Silas here, they stay for a period of time and encourage and strengthen them themselves. And not only that, but then they take the message that's given there back to the apostles and strengthen them again. So, you know, it's just individuals that are trustworthy in this ideal of being able to be sent and strengthening and encouraging one another. You know, yeah, sometimes people need to be tough. Some people need to do some correcting. But sometimes people just need a little extra, hey, that's great. That's wonderful. You know, like the little picture I got, hey, you're awesome. You know, sometimes people just need that little nudge. You know, they just need a little extra encouragement. Some are just way better at that, you know. You know, we got to realize as we go through looking at these, when we start talking about constructive people, not everybody's going to have every single one of these qualities. But you'll have maybe more than one, couple, two or three. You know, the thing is, though, are you using them to be constructive? That'll be the question. Another one, you know, when it comes to constructive people, are people that take action, that actually do the work. They take the action. Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it, but I found no one. I brought up this verse in a lesson, I don't even know, maybe five years ago or something. You know, and it had its place, it had its point within that lesson. And sometime after that, an individual had done some work, and I come and was thanking them for picking up that extra effort. I'd made note of it, saw what they had done, and that individual quoted this verse. So the lesson had made an impact on them. But the point I'm bringing up is that individual saw a need and took action. You know, and that's why, you know, that verse, it meant something to them. Hey, I may not be able to do everything, but I can do that, and I got it done. You know, that's very, very beneficial to the body as a whole. You know, the body of Christ is that any time there is something missing, you know, and you're able to do it, step up and get it done. You know, and Andy mentioned one thing on Wednesday night's Bible class for those that were here. You know, that's one thing that just about everybody can do. You know, see the need, step up and do it. You know, and then there's bigger things. There's bigger things that only a few are going to ever be able to do. But if you are, step up and do it. Be constructive. Build that body up, because that need, anytime there's a need to the body cannot function properly. So if you see a need and you're able to do that, then do it. Fill it. Another one, you know, sometimes people don't like the ideal of thinking that it's beneficial to have correction. You know, so much of our world has got away from, you know, parents correcting their children, and that's why the world is a disaster right now. That's why as a teacher, you just about cannot teach anymore, because there is no discipline at the house. There's no discipline at the school, and that's why everything is such a mess. But, you know, when it comes to the body of Christ, there has to be discipline. When something is wrong or someone is wrong, someone really has to step up and say, we need to fix this. Or, hey, you know, you're in a bad place right now. You need to fix this. So yeah, you know, you're actually being a constructive person when you step up. Now, I have to make the point here that there are some people that they look to find something to correct, but they're probably the worst person to ever correct anybody. You know, not because of something in their life, it's just their attitude and the way they come across. When I talk about, you know, being able to fix or see a wrong and correct it, usually it takes a certain individual to be able to do that correctly, to do it in a way that it's easily accepted. You know, then the next person could come along, same thing, and be more destructive than constructive. 2 Timothy 2, on the screen here. 2 Timothy 2, beginning at verse 24. And a servant of the Lord, notice it says servant, one that's serving the Lord. You know, the people I was talking about, they're a little more self-centered. That's why they're not good for that. But a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. So see, there's the kind of individual we're looking for, a gentle individual, able to teach, so there's enough knowledge to be able to correct properly. Because it's one thing to say, hey, you're wrong, and then not be able to back it up or show why or show how to fix it. But able to teach, patient. You know, something I got to work on. Patient, you know, patient. It, you know, you when you go to correct something or somebody and something, you got to have a little patience, because it's not usually going to be, oh, yeah, I'm wrong, good deal, I fixed it, we're good, and walk off. No, it's probably going to take a little bit of extra effort. In humility, you know, the proud individual, they're definitely not the one to do any correcting. That's not going to cut it. But in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Maybe you're one of those individuals, one of those easygoing, knowledgeable, patient, with, you know, no pride bound up in you. Yeah, you're probably one of those individuals that when that need is there, you need to step up and fill that gap. You see how these work together as well? You know, the ideal of who you are, what you're able to do, and then actually getting it done. Yeah. Let's look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, beginning at 14 down through 16. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things in him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So with this one right here, no, there's a couple big things in here. One, that we need to grow up. We don't need to be children, and that's actually the next topic, the ideal of improving. But also the ideal of working together, you know, taking and trying to keep the body joined and knit together tightly. All right, the ideal of wanting to keep that peace, wanting to encourage, wanting to strengthen, you know, just really binding, there's just times in everybody's life that it's easy to drift, you know, and sometimes you got to have someone with some extra strong arms to help pull those individuals back in. That's part of this, the ideal of joined, knit together. But notice also, you know, the ideal of every single part does its share. You know, there is going to be times that each of us will fall short of doing our share. But hopefully others are picking up a little extra, going a little over and above. Like, see that gear? You know, a chunk fell out. Well, that individual went and filled that gap, put that piece back in there so that it works perfectly once again. You know, that the constructive individual is going to be one that does their best to keep the peace. That doesn't mean that wrong won't come up and you got to be fixed, feelings will be hurt. Things will happen like that. But you know, a lot of times peace is destroyed over silly, foolish things. Hurt feelings, bad attitudes, you know, selfishness, pride. The constructive individual will wipe those things away from themselves for the benefit of the body. They will not let themselves be caught up in those things to tear the body apart. You know, they will work to make it better. And the more that you've got doing that, the stronger and stronger the body will be. You know, and those that are not wanting to keep things knit together, those that are will just have to work a little harder to help them, encourage them. And hopefully you got some of those with that great patience and humility to help encourage and pull those back in a little better too. I already mentioned this, but the next one on constructive, and this is for every single one of us in here. We need to realize that. To be a constructive individual, we got to improve. Every single one of us has to improve. And by that, we are being constructive. Because the body is made up of many members. The weak member hurts the structure as a whole. You know, we just have to realize that's why Paul, you know, uses that analogy, the ideal of a structure and a building and the parts, or even as the body itself and the fingers and the eyes and, you know, all of these things that are brought up. It's the ideal of, you know, every single part doing its job, like we just mentioned, but also doing that job better. You know, if you want a better, stronger body, then be better yourself. Encourage and strengthen others to be better themselves. So 2 Peter 3:17 and 18, verse I know you've heard so many times. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The ideal of improving, you know, the parts we had about, you know, like something missing, you know, improve to help fill that. All right, someone needs me to be something else. Improve yourself so you can be that. Just the ideal of growing. If you grow stronger, you grow more faithful, you have greater hope in what's to come. That alone will shine forth to others and they will improve. Another verse, Matthew 13, verse 23. You know, here it talks about like the good ground. We're all good ground. We've all received the seed that have obeyed the gospel. But then how about what we're going to bear? You know, this is the ideal of improving. You know, some may only, produce very little to begin with. And then you should be able to grow and produce more and more. And the ideal is if we're all improving to the point that we're producing that 100-fold each, then think what the body as a whole is able to produce. So Matthew 13, 23. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces. Some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So yeah, we're each producing something. You know, when we start thinking of the total outcome of the body as a whole here, the more each individual produces, the more the body as a whole is productive. So be constructive in that way. Improve yourself. Galatians 5, 22, 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Every one of these things is individually things that we need to improve on so that we can grow individually, but also grow as a body. And that's why it says, against such there is no law. As in, the more you gain, the more that you grow in these things, the better everything gets. So the body as a whole. Back to the English Standard Version of 1 Corinthians 14:26, as we start to wrap up. What then, brothers, when you come together, each one of you has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up. When we come together, when we each come together as a whole to be the body of Christ, the church, let each of us come in with the attitude of, I am coming to build up. I'm coming to build myself up. I'm coming to improve. But I'm also coming to build up my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And if every single one of us has that attitude when we come together, the body as a whole can only get stronger. There will be no weaknesses because we're all working to remove our own weaknesses. There are so many ways to be constructive, so many ways. Sometimes it's words of encouragement, you know. I mean, you're thinking, okay, I'm not good at teaching. I'm not good, you know, at confronting, you know, wrongs, or, you know, there's just a lot of things I'm not able to do. But if you're able to text, you're able to pick up the phone and talk. You know, if you're just one of those individuals that's good with words, you know, encourage, strengthen, you know, others. Reach out and talk to them. See how they're doing. You know, because, you know, there's a lot of times that there's individuals that are very needed in certain jobs and positions of the body, and they've already put so much effort into that, then some of the other things they're not able to do, or maybe they're not even good at that. But yeah, if you're thinking, I'm not good at those things, then that probably means you're really good in this area. Step up and do that. You know, just words of encouragement, you know, cards. You know, I know people are getting further and further away from cards, you know, because you can text real quick, send a message, but cards are nice to receive. You know, write some cards. You know, I don't know about you, but a lot of times when I text, well, then after I send and then I look and I'm like, what did I even write there, you know? But if you got a card, you can write it out on paper, think it through, mark through it. It's what Deanna does, you know, and I'm thinking, boy, she put a lot of time to write, you know, 10 sentences, but she does that because she can really think through it and make sure what she writes is very beneficial. You know, that's the kind of individual she is. I'm not, but that's a plus for her. You know, maybe you're that individual. Write something, send something, call, encourage, strengthen. You know, if you're one of those bubbly people, share that bubbly nature with others. Sometimes it's going to be correcting wrongs. You know, there's people that are just better at that than others, you know. You know, and definitely become what is needed. You know, whatever that is. You know, I mean, you know, it could be from the ideal of, you know, needing someone to do an extra prayer. You know, and you're thinking, well, I'm not the best at it. Well, you're never going to be the best at it if you never do it. Start off with a simple one. I ask the brethren to let you lead the closing prayer on a Wednesday night. You know, you got the smallest number of people at that time. It doesn't have to be that wordy, that lengthy. You still get to start there, and you'll get the benefit of growing from there, which is the next point. Grow and learn yourself. You know, whatever is needed, become that. Sometimes that's even, you know, putting in more in the treasury. You know, I've had people, they'll say, you know, well, I can't do this, can't do that, can't do that. But then they're driving around these really big fancy cars. You're thinking, well, you could help others the other way. You know, we bring up people that are in need, you know, help that way. I mean, there's so many ways that you can be constructive. You see a need, fill it. You know, be a team player, not a one-man show. You know, the ideal of I need to be able to work with others. I need their strength. They need my strength. We got to work together. That's the body as a whole, to be knit together. You know, and let each of us examine ourselves. Because, you know, the ideal of growing and improving, let each of us examine ourselves and see if we are truly being constructive. Because we'll never be constructive people if we don't look at ourselves and see if we're there or what we can do to even be better at it. So let each of us examine ourselves. We could go back to that first slide, right? Be constructive, not deconstructive. This morning's lesson hasn't been one on first principles, but it has been one on the ideal of self-growth or even growth of the body of Christ as a whole. You know, and those of you that are visiting, you know, same thing. You go back to your own congregation. Be a constructive individual there. Don't be constructive there. Be constructive there, you know. So this morning, we like to offer an invitation to those that may have never obeyed the gospel to act, you know, to take those first steps. If you know what it takes, act on that. If you need to know more about that, let me know. Come and ask me, you know, Verlin, what does it truly take to become a child of God? What is that lifelong commitment I need to make in this? And I'll be happy to sit down and talk with you as long as you need me. Or maybe you have obeyed the gospel, but you've turned back into the world. Fix that while you have opportunity this morning as well. We're happy to help in any way. If you'll